Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
You know, I just don't know when I'm going to get sick of hearing that song. Anyway, back onto the Why Fish. Welcome, everyone, once again. Brad, how you doing? You had an exciting week.
I have. I've been on the go a fair bit since last we spoke. You were sitting here before the show started trying to figure out when we'd last even crossed paths, and it's been a good week or more. But what have I been up to? Well, let's see. Went out fishing for a few hours Sunday afternoon before the Super Bowl. I went out to one of my favorite little pike holes that shall remain nameless, and had just a great time. I almost hated to go leave to head to my friend's house to watch the football game, but caught, I don't know, probably 20 pike in that amount of time, and lost several others. So had a great time there. The next day, Monday, had a unique opportunity to head out across Lake of the Woods from just north of Warroad, Minnesota, for a 35-mile ride across the lake up to the northwest angle in a new contraption that's out on the market this winter called a Snow Bear. And you talk about cool ice fishing toys, this one would have to top the list. It's basically a tracked vehicle. It's heated inside. Will go through seemingly just about anything. And so you're cruising across the lake in comfort. Well, now you get to where you want to fish. There's no pulling out a portable house and setting it up or driving up to a fish house. You're already in the fish house. The machine also doubles as a fish house. There's holes built right into the floor. You get to where you're going to fish. You lift up the hole covers, mark your holes, drive forward a few feet, drill your holes back into place, flip a switch, and the machine lowers right onto the ice. And next thing you know, you're fishing. Turn on the CD player, fire up the Vexlar, and away you go. And I mean, it was just a really cool machine. You know, at the price of $29,995, it's a little spendy, but
it better be a cool machine.
Well, it better
price.
Be a cool machine, but you know, like the folks from the company say, hey, how often do you spend that amount of money on a boat that you maybe use twice a year?
Well, me? Nah, never.
But there's a lot of people that do. So, I mean, you can justify it that way. And, I mean, there's a market out there for, you know, a vehicle like this. And, you know, it probably opens up fishing opportunities to the handicapped because you could get a wheelchair inside this machine. You know, it's just one more tool that's on the market. And I must say one of the coolest ones I've seen in quite some time. And I got a chance to drive about the last 20 miles home last night. I had a blast. At my age, driving shouldn't be something that you go, ooh, that's fun, but this machine was fun.
So you're saying it's a little cooler than the snowmobile on a frosty night across the lake, huh?
It would have been a cold ride across the lake yesterday morning. It was 15 below zero Fahrenheit about the time we left, and riding conditions on the lake were absolutely awesome. There were times, I'll have to admit, I was thinking it would be nice to be on my snowmobile where you could hit the throttle and next thing you know, you're going 70 miles an hour. Because this machine at top speed goes about 24, 25 miles an hour. So you're not setting any speed records, but it seems to get you where you want to go. And we're nice and warm in the process.
So you're saying, all in all, the Snow Bear experience was pretty nice. Do you got a picture we can put up on the website?
I think we can probably round one up. So check it out on the website and look for the Snow Bear.
We'll link that as well. What else you been up to? You mentioned the unnamed body of water. I understand you got into some nice northerns.
I did. They treated me quite well. And, you know, I'll have to say that northern pike, you know, so many people do turn up their noses at them. Again, they talk about the Y-bones. And for those of you who haven't seen it, check out the how to take the Y-bones out of a northern pike video on our website at whyfishradio.com. But I tell you, I have had a lot of fun with pike this winter. They've really been a savior of some slow overall fishing reports in our neck of the woods. And I found these fish really willing to cooperate. And, you know, especially the tip-up fishing, I just get the biggest kick out of watching that flag pop up in the air and that post spinning around to tell you there's a fish somewhere down there at the other end of the line.
Well, you know, I got to do some tip-up fishing over the weekend, except I was in North Dakota at our favorite little lake north of Devil's Lake, otherwise known as Irvin. And you know, with the weather changes and the low pressure systems, I actually ran into some pike with lockjaw, if you can believe that.
Well, see, I was kind of wondering about that myself that day because, I mean, we'd, we were coming on to a cold snap. I mean, we've had this prolonged stretch of fairly warm weather, and all of a sudden, bam, I mean, the night before was down to, you know, close to 20 below zero. So I was thinking, you know, maybe they'd be a little bit sluggish. So I was kind of bracing myself for, you know, kind of maybe some expectations of some slower fishing. Instead, I'd have to say it was probably the fastest fishing I've hit in this particular spot all winter. And again, aside from three other people in a fish house about a quarter mile downriver, I had it all to myself. And I got to tell you, I love that.
Well, we were pretty much by ourselves the first half of Saturday when the action was good. And as soon as everybody else figured it out and showed up, the action kind of slowed. But I think we've been in kind of a morning bite out in the Devil's Lake area. It just seems to be faster early.
Well, you know, and I noticed that too the times I've been out with you. I mean, it started on the Hot Dog Lake there, Lake Loretta. I guess that was, what, right after New Year's. We got there, and, it, you know, all of a sudden you were watching just before we even got set up. People were starting to catch a lot of fish, but then it just sort of tapered off. And by noon, I would say the bulk of the action that day was done. And, you know, I guess the same thing happened, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we were out on Lake Irvine, which, you know, I guess was where you fished a couple of days ago. You know, morning definitely seemed to be a little bit better.
Yeah, Maya, just what I want to hear. Morning is the bite.
Oh, it's brutal, isn't it? I know yesterday I had to actually be up at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Super Bowl Sunday when I didn't exactly go to bed at, you know, let's say 10 o'clock either. We were sort of ringing in the merriment of the whole Super Bowl event. So, but I was up and at 'em, 20 below zero yesterday morning, firing up that truck. And it is a little bit easier when you know you're going fishing and doing it in nice, warm, heated comfort, but it was still awfully early.
Well, I think it's safe to say to the folks that, you know, we've been harping all winter to be careful on the ice, as you always should, but I would have to say the northern tiers are finally tolerable ice that's relatively safe. Wouldn't you have to agree with that?
I would say overall that's definitely the case. I mean, you know, rivers and places where there's current, use caution, obviously. You know, be careful. It is just a very different winter.
Well, no ice is safe ice.
Well, it never is, but it's, you know, it's probably never more true than this winter. But, you know, at least here in Grand Forks in the Red River Valley and up along the Red River, we're starting to get some conditions that are a little bit like winter. I mean, it has felt and looked like winter around here the past few days. And, you know, tell you the truth, I kind of like it.
Well, I'd rather have winter when you're supposed to have winter than winter when you're supposed to have spring.
Exactly. I mean, I've seen it on the Minnesota Fishing Opener in mid-May. Don't much care for it then. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll get this winter out of the way now, and when it's supposed to be nice, we'll get it.
Well, we actually took the pickup out on Devils for the first time this year, and, you know, it's a good 2 feet, so I didn't feel too horrible about it. And Irvin is well over 2 feet now, so that's nice and safe. But enough about us. Anything else going on that's kind of in the news that we should talk about?
Well, I think, you know, looking a little bit to the north there up at, you know, Stu's place up at Cats on the Red up in Lockport country in Manitoba, one of our favorite places. I'm hearing some reports again now of walleye fishing that is starting to improve. Just looking at, you know, some of the reports that Stu has posted. He does a lot of fishing himself in the wintertime and suffers through the bad days, but it seems like there's some good days coming up again now. They're catching some fish, and there has been some larger greenbacks, you know, sort of what they call the master anglers, 28 inches or larger, showing up as well. So could be a good way to wind out the winter up there. You know, seems like there's often kind of a little bit of a resurgence, and seems to be starting to happen a little bit. It's nice to see.
You know, one thing in the news, and I wish we could have probably been more involved with it, but it kind of passes between our shows, being we put them up on Tuesdays typically. And this is a pretty heartwarming story that comes out of Minneapolis. A neighbor of ours is a young gentleman that had some strokes and got a specially handicapped fish house, had it burned down by arson. And some of the local websites and fishing communities actually pitched in and got him a new fish house and the equipment to get going. And that, you know, that was nice that everybody chipped in and helped the guy out. And pretty darn crummy that somebody burned his fish house down.
You got to wonder what's going through people's minds when they did that. I mean, it, you know, it almost seems to me like they singled out this particular fish house just as an act of, you know, extreme cruelty. But, you know, to see the way people have rallied behind this and, you know, helped him out and actually, you know, gone out of their way to, I guess, what, purchase a whole new fish house? I mean, it really restores your faith in humanity that there's a lot of good people out there. And especially here in this fishing industry, the same can be said. I mean, we've both been lucky enough. We've met some great people. And, you know, stories like this only confirm just how good they are.
That is absolutely true, and for everybody who pitched in on that, good job. Glad to hear it. It's nice to know that the world isn't full of criminals and bad people, that, you know, there still is some general niceness in the world willing to help out your fellow man.
And, you know, speaking of cool stories, I guess another one that comes to mind, and this was a little over a week ago now, over on Devil's Lake every year, the volunteer fire department throws just a huge ice fishing derby. It's just an incredible event. They sell, you know, I want to say 10,000 tickets. People pay $25 each for one of these tickets, and they go like hotcakes. I mean, the tickets are gone months ahead of the event itself. But anyway, the big event was out on 6 Mile Bay on Devil's Lake. That would have been a week ago, Saturday. Don't ask me what the date was.
28th.
28th, okay, very good, thank you. And in the walleye division, we just got out there that day. There's about 3,600 people on the ice. You know, and keep in mind that in these types of events, there's not a lot of fish caught. It's, you know, it's just one of those things. It's a time of day thing, and maybe it's just the crowds, whatever. But we had just walked up, you know, into the kind of a mass of fishermen and people standing out there. And all of a sudden, we hear this little roar of applause go through the crowd and get up a little closer. And here's a seven-year-old boy who has just landed a walleye that was over 7 pounds. Turns out he won the walleye category with a walleye that was 7.06 pounds, and he won $1,000 in the process. You talk about an excited kid and tell me he's not hooked for life.
Yeah, you think he'll be talking about that for years and years and years to come?
Oh, absolutely. And according to his dad, he had his eyes set on a new pair of shoes. And his dad told him he could go out and buy them, but he had to at least win some money at the Derby. And he didn't waste any time. He did it in the first 5 minutes, so he's got himself a new pair of Etnies, and I'm sure he's pretty excited about that, too.
Well, that's just a nice story that, you know, kid comes in, catches the big fish for the day, wins some money, good success. It is going to be a tough one to beat, I have a feeling, though.
It absolutely is. And, you know, I guess with that, we should probably wrap it up here this week. There's a little thing coming on television here we definitely want to check out, and it's popping up on the screen as I say this. So let's wind her down. Until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight. Most of all, keep it fun.
And don't forget to sign up for the giveaway for a guided trip on the Red River with our own sponsor, Kent, from Trophy Cat Adventures. Send us an email, contest@yfishradio.com. Brad, until next week, take care.
Likewise.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to YFishRadio.com.